Good morning. My name is Ashley Jennings. I'm one of the pastors here at Village Church. This is Cody, a co-pastor here as well. And we are on week two of our Living Generous series. And so we are exploring in Scripture what it says about generosity. Specifically, we know we can be generous with a lot of things, right? Our time, our families, but we're actually looking specifically at money. When it comes to being generous with our funds, with our money. I want to let you know that Jesus talked about money in his 3 years of ministry more than he talked about heaven and hell combined. Okay, so he knew, if our Savior knew, I got to really camp here on this. He knew that money and how it affects our lives has the capacity to hijack our human hearts, right? Nothing will stress you out like your bank account. Right? And some of us, our mood kind of ebbs and flows based on the number in and out of our bank account, right? Like, I'm having a really good day when it's tax return day, right? If you get one, okay? And if you don't get one, you're probably struggling right now. I mean, isn't it April 15th? Good luck. Okay. You know, and so Jesus knew this, that we get kind of goofy, we get hung up on money. And so he instructs in Scripture a lot about it, and I'm so grateful for that because there's freedom in Scripture for us when it comes to this issue. Ashley Donnell preached last week for us, and she talked about contentment, the importance of that in Scripture, that we have to first be content with what we have, right? She talked about a little bit, we're going to touch more on about true wealth and what it actually means to be wealthy, and then also putting God first in our money. So I want to tell you a funny story. Haley, my oldest, she is just such a spirited girl. That's what we say, spirited, beautiful 8-year-old. And so there was one time where, you know, there's this boy in her class, and she just, like, thought he was the greatest. I think she maybe had a little crush on him, you know, but she doesn't know how to communicate that in her little mind. So this is in kindergarten, all right? So I get a note home from the teacher that said, Haley, a parent came up to me and said that Haley sent home $25 to another kid. So the story came out that he was having a bad day, and she went home, and she had been saving money, right, from, you know, the time they were born. You know, grandparents always send fives and ones. We've been putting it in a piggy bank, and she wanted to make him feel better, and so she took $25 to school and gave it to him, and he was like, well, thank you, you know, and went home, and that mom found it and was like, this is not right. Like, what? Who gave this to you and sent it back home? And of course, you know, you're just like, oh my gosh. And we're a small community, so I'm like, I got to see that lady all over the place. She was super gracious. But it was so funny because it was so innocent, right? So sweet. Like, I just want to make him feel better. Here's $25. You know, like, that makes me feel better. If I'm having a bad day, you want to hand me 25 bucks? It's like instant perk up, right? And, you know, it's proving to us as people, as even as kids, that generosity is something we have to learn about from God's perspective, right? It's not appropriate that Haley gave $25 to a kindergartner, right? But we kind of get goofy when it comes to giving our money away too, whether we hoard it or we don't know when or how or what the proper channels are. And so this series is all about allowing God into our finances, allowing him to teach us how do we manage it, but not only manage it, how do we give it away, and how do we give it away well? And so we're going to start exploring that more this morning.
Yeah. So we're going to be reading today out of the book of 2 Corinthians, specifically chapter 9, if you want to open your Bibles to that. Otherwise, we'll have it up on the screen as usual. I also want to just bring your attention while you're kind of flipping your pages maybe to our website, which is villagechurchaz.com. And at that website, you can find the past messages that we've done on this, right? So if you missed last week and you want to catch up with where we're going with everything, you can go on there and there's links to podcasts. You can even just download the MP3 if you wish, or listen to it straight from our website.
Or app. We have a free app.
That's right. We could
download.
Yep, absolutely. You can go to any of your app stores and find our app there as well. So 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verses 6 through 8 is what we're reading today. It says, remember this, whoever sows sparingly will also reap sparingly, and whoever sows generously will also reap generously. Each of you should give what you have decided in your hearts to give, not reluctantly or under compulsion, for God loves a cheerful giver. And God is able to bless you abundantly, so that in all things, at all times, having all that you need, you will abound in every good work. Mm-hmm. This is an incredible, incredible scripture of promise here. And too often I've fallen into the trap of trying to make Christianity a formula. Right, of like, if I say these things in this right order, and if I, put these actions to this, then I can expect something to happen, right? And for a long time, I tried formulas for like even healing, right? Praying for someone for healing, I would try like, maybe I'm missing this component, and if I just get that right, things will fall into place and be perfect, right? But that's not how healing works, right? It's up to God in those moments, whether or not that's what he has in store for that person. But there are instances in Scripture where there is a formula that comes together. And this is one. The law of sowing and reaping, right? Whether you call it karma, right? Or what? It's the law of sowing and reaping. That is a universal truth set forth by the creator of this universe. That what you sow, you will reap. And this passage is even saying that God is able to bless you abundantly so that in all things, at all times, having all that you need, you will abound in every good work. Don't you want that for your life? Don't you want that promise in your life? Well, this passage gives us the formula, right? But it all starts, and this is our truth today, in the reality that generous living flows out of a right heart. None of this works without the right heart behind it. Mm-hmm. The law of sowing and reaping does not work without the right heart behind it. And too often, even as Christians, we've tried to manipulate some of these things and to force God to doing things for us, but it's never in the right heart so often. And so today we want to unpack that truth that it has to start with your heart.
Yeah. You know, and that's important for us because I think when it comes to generosity, giving away money, right? I think we in general want to be known as generous. Does anyone in here want to be known as a stingy person? No, no one wants to. But you're like, but maybe I am. You know. But no one wants to be known that way. So I think we have intentions, but sometimes we say things like, you know, okay, when I get my bank account together, when I get my financial situation in order, then I can be more generous, right? Maybe when I pay off some of my debts or if I get a raise or something, then I'll be more generous. So we have the intention, but what Scripture's saying here, it's not when the stars align and all of a sudden you have extra, it's when your heart is right. Right? That's where it has to start, because otherwise you might get the extra, the bank account might line up, but you won't, your heart's not right, you'll be like, I'm just going to keep a little bit more for me, right? So we know this about us, and I want you to know, I'm not preaching to you, I am part of this truth as well, okay? I'm right there with you. So how do you know when your heart is right? And this is what this scripture is telling us. How can we know when our hearts are right? And the first thing is, You got it.
We'll give you this for a second.
All right. This is weird. Never hold this. Okay, hey. All right. The first thing is, we see in verse 6, you know your heart is right when you sow generously. When you sow generously. Okay, so it says in verse 6, whoever sows sparingly will also reap sparingly, and whoever sows generously will also reap generously. And this is interesting. I looked up generosity or being generous in the dictionary, just like Webster's dictionary. I actually went online because I don't even own a paper dictionary anymore. But it said, being generous is a readiness to give more money than is expected or necessary. A readiness to give more than is expected or even necessary. So it's not just giving away money, it's giving more than is expected of you. And then it's also being ready. So it's like looking for a place, like I'm ready. I know it's going to come. The opportunity is going to come. And so I'm ready. I thought that was interesting. This verse is also saying something about God's economy. All right, so Cody mentioned this, that God has set up our world as a sowing and reaping world. We know this, right? We understand that the more seed you put in the ground as a farmer, the more crops you're going to get.
right? That's just kind of how it works. The more work you put into a project, maybe the better it's going to be. Even people that can kind of wing it on a test, right? The more time you put into studying, the better grade you're going to get. There's some things you just can't fake. It is a sowing and reaping world. And this is so revolutionary, this truth. What he's saying is the more money you give away, the more that will come that you'll reap. I mean, that's what it's saying here. And that kind of is weird. It's like, how does that work? I give it away, but that usually math would show, right? The numbers dwindle. But what he's saying is, no, you give it away and it will increase in your life. And we're going to explore more about that. But isn't that funny? In God's economy, in our human hearts and our understanding here, it's more like, no, I want to give away a little. But what it says here is if you only give little, what you sow sparingly, you only reap sparingly as well. You know, I love Dave Ramsey. He teaches Financial Peace University, which is a 9-week program that we offer here often. I think we've done like 5 or 6 rounds of it. And it's incredible. It brings people out of debt and teaches you how to invest your retirement and insurance. It's amazing. And we'll have another round offered again soon. But one analogy that he gives that I love is he says, you know, sometimes we hold on to our money with a closed fist like this. But when it's closed, nothing can come in and nothing can go out. But when we hold it open like this, it goes out, but it also is ready to receive more. And I think that illustrates what this is saying in Scripture, that when you sow generously, you also reap generously.
Absolutely. You know, Jesus spoke about the kingdom of God more than anything else he taught about. And second was the second largest thing he taught about was money, as we've mentioned, right? And I think what Jesus needed us to understand through where he was putting his priority in teaching is that his upside-down kingdom that we've talked about, right? He came to flip everything we know upside down, right? Love your enemy, right? The first shall be last, the last shall be first. All those things that just kind of flipped, did a huge paradigm shift for how we see the world and how it works, right? He needed us to understand that his upside-down kingdom had an upside-down economy. And every kingdom is measured by its economy. Mm-hmm. Isn't that true? Why is the United States the number one world power right now? Because we have the strongest economy. China's coming up. Why? Because they have the number two economy. And it even gets close sometimes, right? But that's why we're able to be who we are as a nation, is because we have the strongest economy. And Jesus is trying to teach us, right, that his kingdom requires a new economy. Mm-hmm. The economy drives growth. It drives influence. It drives the future of everything for those who live in it. Isn't that true? And so he's absolutely trying to teach us here that we have to start thinking differently about how we handle money and generosity. See, a kingdom is stifled by the limits of its economic ability. And Jesus is teaching us here that God's kingdom is stifled when we aren't who we say we are when it comes to generosity. We stifle his kingdom by our lack of generosity. And we often equate generosity with money, and that's where we're kind of honing in this series, but we also know that encompasses everything. Every area of our lives, that law of sowing and reaping comes into play. And we can see that in Luke 6, 37 through 38, where we see that generosity is measured in everything we do. It says, judge not, and you will not be judged. Condemn not, and you'll not be condemned. Forgive, and you will be forgiven. Give, and it will be given to you with a good measure. Pressed down, shaken together, running over, and will be put into your lap. Isn't that an incredible promise? What he's saying here is that the measure by which you do something for the kingdom, the measure by which you say, God, this is for you, this is not for me, every time we sow into that mindset, whether it be money, whether it be our love for other people, right? Whether it be the way that we love our neighbor, every time we do that, God takes that gift of generosity, he presses it down, and he multiplies it to its up and overflowing, and it spills over into our laps for our good and for his glory. That is an incredible promise that we get to hang on to when we're talking about this absolute law of sowing and reaping. See, with the measure you use it, it says, this is how that passage ends, for with the measure you use it, it will be measured back to you. The measure that you use it, it will be measured back to you. Your generosity affects every single area of your life. And the measure at which you do everything will be measured back to you. Mm-hmm. That promise refers to the good and to the bad. We can sow bad decisions into our lives, mm-hmm. and we'll end up reaping those bad decisions. But the promise here is, as long as you sow good, good will come back to you in spades. It's up to you which of those things will define your life. It's your choice.
The question then is, what do you want measured back to you, right? What do you want? Do you want to be on the side of sowing sparingly, or do you want to be on the side of sowing generously? You know, I think it's amazing in faith when we give, right? When we have to give away, and we do watch those numbers go down in our lives or in our bank account, our finances. But I love this imagery because it shows us that God has money waiting in the wings. Right? That he has it waiting. He already has a plan for it. It's almost like I just got this picture of him like, I can't wait till you give that away because I'm going to usher in something new into your life. This is such a revolutionary concept. And maybe today you need the paradigm shift, the understanding of, you know what? It is a sowing and reaping world. And I haven't ever thought about that when it comes to my generosity, to my heart. And you know that your heart is right when you sow generously. And what that means is when you just give away, when you give away a lot. You know, there's secrets, books written about the secrets of millionaires. You know, they interview these millionaires, and every single one, the richest people in the world, all of them are incredibly generous. All of them are. They're just, they give and give and give away. It's amazing when you do studies of people that are super wealthy. And you know what? We're going to talk more about this. It doesn't mean that you're going to be a bajillionaire. You know, that's not what this is saying. But it is saying you need a paradigm shift in your understanding of what it means to be generous and how we handle that. And so what do you want measured back to you?
Absolutely. So how do we know that our heart is right? The second way that we know is when you give cheerfully. You can know that your heart is right in all this. And we see this back in verse 7. It says, each of you should give what you have decided in your heart to give, not reluctantly or under compulsion, for God loves a cheerful giver. And I want to read this out of a different version here, out of the Passion Translation has a great imagery here. It says, let giving flow from your heart, not from a sense of religious duty. Let it spring up freely from the joy of giving, all because God loves hilarious generosity. Don't you love that? Hilarious generosity. I read that for the first time and I was just like, man, that puts it into such a different perspective, right? Because here's the thing, you can fake cheerful, but you can't fake hilarious, right? Cheer isn't even contagious, but hilarity is contagious, isn't it? If somebody in this crowd just started laughing out of nowhere, right? For no reason, right? And we're all, for a while, it'd be like, what's going on, right? And then I guarantee we'd all start to chuckle, and then it'd spread, and we're all laughing, and we have no idea why. Because hilarity is contagious. And so we can see just in that one shift in our understanding of that cheerful giver phrase, we can see that it's that same truth that applies to everything is that whatever God gives to us is always meant for others. Right? Our spirit in the way that we give even is contagious, and it's meant to be a witness to others of who our God is, how good he is in our lives, and how freely we get to accept his good gifts and let them flow out through us to others. That is that hilarious generosity. And I want to read a little more about that, right? If we look up the word hilarious, one of the meanings is boisterously merry. Very funny, hysterically funny, hysterical, uproarious, riotous, rollicking, farcical, rib-tickling, humorous, comic, amusing, entertaining, jocular, jovial, laughable, and I love this, side-splitting, gut-busting, knee-slapping, thigh-slapping, priceless, a scream and a hoot. Isn't that great? our giving should cause others even to have a hoot in their lives. Right? I think of this as even to the point, the extremeness of which we go through our giving should cause the world almost to do a spit take. When they see us, they're like, what? What is going on there? Right? Our generosity should be so set apart from the world's that the world finds it hilarious. Because that's the difference, guys. That's the upside-down kingdom. That's the upside-down economy. That's our witness to others that say, yes, the world does good things. There are good organizations in this world that help people for good. But there's a difference when we do things for good and when we do things for God. One is always greater than the other. Because we don't just do things with a good intention in our heart. We do things for the sake of the kingdom. And so that every action of good can be transferred into the action for God so that people can look at that and know who God is. It's a witness. In every single thing that we do, we have to start thinking about who am I to other people? And that even affects our giving. Here's the thing. The church should always be the front runner in a movement for radical generosity. Otherwise, we'll be no different than the world. We have to be the front runners. Amen?
You know, right after Easter, there was an article circulating about a church in Dallas. And the headline read, "Church Dallas Church sees $10 million of medical debt relieved for local families." I was like, what? Let's talk about a spit take. Okay, so there was a church in Dallas, Covenant Church, and they partnered. Of course, you're like, what is this? You know, so I'm like, I'm in there. I'm like reading all the details and Googling all the nonprofits and all this. So they partnered with a nonprofit called RIP Medical Debt. And this nonprofit has figured out how to purchase medical debt at a cheap rate. And so the church partnered with them and they raised all this money and they were able to purchase these debts from, they said, a 20-mile radius of every campus that they had. They were able to purchase the debts of every family within a 20-mile radius of every single campus in their church, and they paid off the medical debt. To the point, $10,500,000 worth of medical debt for a family. Can you imagine if this happened in 85145? Can you imagine, like, the impact that that would have? They also were able to eradicate medical debt from every single veteran on the list of that 20-mile radius. Not one was left out. Is that just incredible? Isn't that just like, oh my gosh? And I loved it when the pastor was sharing this. I mean, there were like balloons and everyone's like, oh my gosh, on Easter Sunday. And I mean, this church is just up in a roar, like clapping and worshiping God. And the pastor's crying. I mean, it's incredible the generosity that God did through these people, the way they stepped up to the plate. I mean, I want to clarify, too, when they sent it out, they sent letters to every single one with checks. Like, they just got them in the mail. And it just said, you know, you might not ever come to our church. That's okay. Jesus paid our debt. And we want to show you the victory that you can have in Jesus. I mean, incredible. Absolutely incredible and hilarious to me. Like, that cheerful giving is incredible, the impact that it made. I mean, can you talk about sowing generously? I want to be part of something like that, don't you? I would love it one day for our church to be able to say something crazy like that for our community, that, wow, like, we just rose up and God provided, and I mean, we just eradicated this incredible need in our city. You know, the Bible mentions seven things. I read in a commentary, seven things that God loves, that he loves, that it actually says in scripture, God loves dot, dot, dot. Here they are. The resident foreigner or immigrant is one. Righteousness in our affairs with others. Justice. The gates of Zion. His righteous people. Those he disciplines. And a cheerful or hilarious giver. Those are seven things that God says he loves. I just picture it bringing a smile to his face. Even watching the live feed for that Texas church, I mean, I was like moved to tears just watching it. It was incredible. And I just picture God smiling down like, that's exactly it. I love that, what those people are doing. I love it. And I guarantee you, I can't wait to see what's going to happen for that church. They've sown generously. I cannot wait to see how they reap and how they give more and more away, the impact that they'll make.
Yeah. That's the difference, right? Between doing something for good and doing something for God. That's that hilarious generosity that comes through that makes us go, wow, I want to be part of something like that, right? And I'll tell you, as soon as we read that article, we looked up and I sent out a request to that company and see how we can do the same. Because the cool thing is that it's a 1-100 ratio. So every dollar we give is $100 for them to pay off medical debt. So it's really, we could make a pretty big dent in some people's medical debt if we join with that. So that's just an incredible, incredible example, right, of what hilarious generosity looks like. So I want to ask, what would your life look like today as a hilarious giver? What would that look like, practically speaking, for you? Maybe just take a moment and kind of do some inventory in your own life. And what generosity could you start exuding that would be contagious to other people around you? You know, we've all had those moments where we feel this prompting to go above and beyond for a situation, for someone, for some sort of a charity even. And then there's a moment of decision that happens every time. And I'll tell you, for me, it happens too, right? That decision can, if you don't act on it right away, it's going to pass. That moment of like yearning in your heart to do something for that those people, because easily something can creep in, this little voice can creep in and you can say, well, what about you? I know what their issue is, but what about you? Didn't you have some plans for that money? Or maybe you should just hang on to that just in case there's something else that comes up. And there's this fear that creeps in, and that fear always leads to control, right? Which we talk about often in here. And that control is gonna hijack what the Holy Spirit wants to do in and through us for other people in our generosity. We've all experienced that, right? We've all experienced those moments where it's like, I wanna do that, and then, okay, well, that moment passed. And so the difference here is that we need to not, that scripture, right? I want to read that real fast again. Verse 7, it says, each of you should give what you have decided to give in your heart, right? In your heart to give. You should do what you've decided in your heart to do. Otherwise, that moment passes and we'll never experience what God might have in store for us. You know, I love the imagery of, who here knows the Disney Christmas Carol, right? With Mickey Mouse. The Christmas Carol version, raise your hand. Okay, good. So that's the one I grew up on. I watched that one every Christmas, right? And so there's the end of that story when Scrooge McDuck, right? He goes through his transformation and he comes out the door and it's Christmas morning and there's those two charity workers at the bottom and he comes out and he like takes the guy's hat off and he like pours the gold and he puts it on his head and they're both just like, what? Because they had just been like thrown out of his house just days before, right? And they're just dumbfounded. And then his nephew, Donald, is on a horse and he sees him coming by and he's like, I'm going to come to your event tonight. And Donald is like, what in the world? What happened to you, right? And then he goes to Bob Cratchit's house. And he opens the door and he pretends that he's the same old Scrooge for a bit. And then Tiny Tim goes in and he starts digging through the bag that he has and he's like, there's toys here. And then this transformation occurs, right? And the hilarious generosity of Scrooge in that moment transformed the life of this little family. That's the power, right? It might be a Disney version, but there's plenty of real versions that we can look to for that, right? That hilarious generosity of being able to kick in somebody's door and say, look, I'm going to do this for you. I'm going to go above and beyond, and I'm going to make a change in your life for the good forever. I'm going to wipe out your debt. I'm going to change everything about your situation, and your future is going to be bright because of this generosity. Here's the thing. That's what Jesus did for us. He came into our lives. He looked at our debt. He gave more than anybody else could. He gave his very life out of generosity for us. So that our future could be bright, could be better, could be eternal good. That's what generosity is. And we owe it to others to be for them who Jesus has been for us. And sometimes that takes entering into somebody's life. And that's who we try to be as a church. I'll tell you, it doesn't always make sense on the outside. Some of the situations that we find ourselves in, we're standing in front of these people in their homes, and some of these people's lives are a wreck, an absolute wreck. And we're standing in front of them and we say, you know what? This is an opportunity to show them who Jesus is to them. Not just to give some monetary gift, not just to try to bail them out of a situation, but to try to show them that a better life exists with Jesus. Because that's what he did for us first. It's fun to give to the easy stuff, guys. But it means so much more when we can transform the impossible. That's what radical, hilarious generosity does. It transforms the impossible for people so that they can see who Jesus really, truly is to them.
Yeah, I want to make a note here as well. So you might notice in our church that we have giving stations, okay? So we have two on the side and one in the back. And, you know, some people are used to more of passing the plate idea, right? Or like passing a bag or something. And when we started, we said, you know, this, we want to take this verse to heart. This is really the point behind it. It says, don't give under compulsion or because you feel guilty or just because the plate's there, so you throw a couple bucks in, right? Like, we want people to give hilariously, cheerfully out of their response to God that says flow what flows from their heart. And so that's why we do that. I want you to know that's why we do it, not because we don't have enough volunteers for ushers or something, okay? This is so important to us. And Cody was, we were kind of revisiting this, you know, as we're doing this series, and he said, you know, I always envisioned that families would go up together, you know, and it would kind of be this time together that they would say, you know, we are so excited to give, to be a part of what God is doing, not just to, you know, toss something in because it's coming by and people might judge me, you know. So anyway, I just want to point there where it says, don't give out of compulsion or because you feel guilty or gross. We've gone so far as to say, we don't even want you to give if that's the heart behind it. Right? And what church plant would ever say the words, we don't want you to give? Okay, that's scary. But really, it's we want a healthy understanding of generosity from the foundation of our church to spring up, because we know when that happens, God will do amazing, incredible things through us. And he has done incredible things through this church, through you guys, and he has more in store. So the third point, you know your heart is right when you expect abundant blessing, when that's the expectation that you have when you give. And so in this verse, it says, I'll read it back to you. It says in verse 8, and God is able to bless you abundantly so that in all things, at all times, having all that you need, you will abound in every good work. I love this scripture because it's just a promise of God. And people who have a right heart toward generosity, toward God in their finances, they know this through and through. They expect it, that God is going to come through on his promises, that he has abundant blessings in store for me. There's other translations that say, you will have sufficient supply. It will be sufficient. You'll have all that you need. I love the Message version. It says this. I'm going to read it to you. It says, God can pour on blessings in astonishing ways so that you're ready for anything and everything, more than just ready to do what needs to be done. As one psalmist puts it, he throws caution to the winds, giving to the needy in reckless abandon. His right living, right giving ways never run out. They never wear out. And when I read that, I see that it's not just, you know, when you hear the first point, like so generously, it's not just I'm going to give, you know, not a greedy thing, like I'm going to give away a lot so I can get a lot. You know, that's not what it is. It's when you give a lot, God ushers in more so that you can continue to give more and more and more. That the good works that God has continue to come. The people in need continue to come, and you are able to meet more and more needs. And what I read when I see that is that there's legacy involved. I don't know about you, but when I die, I would love it if people did not say, well, she was stingy. She was stingy, but, you know, she was rich. You know, like, that's not what I want. I want people to say of me, she gave her life away for Jesus. Amen? That's what I want people to say. That's the number one thing that I want people to say about me. Not even she was a great mom or a great wife, but that she gave her life away for Jesus. That's what we're in this for. And so what he's saying is, I will stir up legacy for you. You so generously, you trust me in this, you give, I'm gonna just come bring in opportunities and you're just gonna build legacy for the world around you. Later on down this chapter, it says, and people will praise God because of your generosity. So people will come to know Jesus. They will see the love of Christ and they will be saved from hell because of the way that you gave your money away. That's incredible, the way that God does a miracle with something silly like paper and coins, right? In our lives. He says, I'm going to build up legacy. The Bible says you're going to store up treasures in heaven. I'm going to create more and more opportunities for you. I mean, it just, the list goes on and on with this promise. I love it. I love it so much. And people that have this right heart, when they give, they expect it. They're just excited. Like, I can't wait to give. I'm going to give here in this way, and I'm just ready. I can't wait because I know that abundant blessing is coming my way. This is so amazing. I hope that you're humbled hearing this. I hope that you hear this and you're just moved by the grace of God, that he would allow us to partner with him in this way. And then he stirs up all these good things for us because of it. I mean, he's so gracious. It's not by, you know, anything that we do. He's the one, the Bible says in the Psalms that he owns how much stuff? Everything. He owns it. It's all his anyway. And then he generously gives us, right, as stewards, as people that are to steward what he owns. We don't even own it. That's kind of a, like, whoops, you know, sorry for the times I think I own it, that I worked hard for it. He gave you the job to be able to get the paycheck, to be able to give. I mean, it's all for his glory. And by his grace, legacy is stirred up. Righteousness is stirred up in our lives and impact. You know, we call ourselves storytellers here at Village Church. We say that we have a story with Jesus, and we're going to tell it so that others can have a story with him as well. And the way that we give tells a story. Amen? The way that we give generously tells a story about who our God is and what he can do for us.
Absolutely. You know, that understanding that God owns everything, right? That we really don't own anything. There's a fly in here, and I'm going to murder that fly. But it's okay. It's okay. Blessings on you, fly. Anyway, I'll just, like, do a zigzag pattern the whole time while I'm up here. So, but what I love about that understanding, right, we all have to come to that understanding. Otherwise, that right heart never really will happen. As long as we keep thinking that what we have is ours in any way, shape, or form, we're never going to have that right heart. And it says here, for God loves a cheerful giver, right? When you have that right heart, and it says, and God is able, because of that, to bless you abundantly. See, any other attitude ties God's hands, and he isn't able to give us what he has in store for us already. There are storehouses of good, of blessing, of promise in heaven, just waiting to be poured out on us, right? But those doors remain shut as long as our hearts are not open and receptive to them. That's what's being said here. And God is able. And there's another time that that phrase comes into play. And I think it does a great job of explaining that abundant blessing. And that's found in Ephesians 3:20. It says, and he is able to do immeasurably more than we can ask, hope, or imagine. That's abundant blessing. And here's what's so important to understand about that, right? Is that is, again, only found through the understanding that we have to allow God to do that for us through our hearts, right? As long as we have a hard heart, a wrong heart about that, it ties his hands. So here's the thing. I want to tell a story real quick. We're going to be wrapping up here, but about Gladden Farms, our church plant that's happening. So those of you that don't know, we have a team together to plant in Gladden Farms, and we had some exciting news this week that I'll get to in a moment. But when we first planted this church, we knew that we were going to be a church that plants churches. And so we started a bank account and we started a savings account and we said we are going to save money every month for our first church plant. We had no idea what that was going to look like, and I'll tell you, there was months where that was easier said than done. right? We really wanted to, and we still did it, but it came out as a sacrifice sometimes to put that money aside and to say, no, we committed to doing this. We have to plan for this if it's going to happen, right? And I'll tell you, a couple months ago, maybe like 5 months ago now, I suppose, it's been a while, somebody called us up and they said, hey, so they were up in Flagstaff and they said, hey, there's a church that closed up here. And, you know, they have all this stuff. They were only open for about 3 years and they have all of this equipment and everything. And we're trying to figure out what to do with it. Do you know of any place that could use this? And I was like, well, I'll tell you, we got a church plant happening, right? And he's like, well, I'll send you a list of what it is. And it was, they said it's about $20,000 worth of stuff. And I was like, well, great. Good for you guys. Thanks for letting me know. Like, that's not going to happen, right? And so, you know, we talked about it. I talked about it with Mike and Shalom, who are going to be the planters of this church. And I said, what do you guys want to do? We have $5,000 saved, set aside for you guys that we've saved for 2 years for this church. So if you guys want, I can just see what they say, right? You know, and so I called them back up. We all agreed, yeah, let's do it, right? And I called them back up and I said, look, we have $5,000. That's all we can give for this, right? I said, okay, well, I'll let you know what they say. You know, I'll have to ask a group about this and we'll just see. And I was like, okay, that means no. That's fine though, right? And a couple days later, they came back and they said, yeah, you guys can have all of it for $5,000, right? That is the law of sowing and reaping at play, right? We didn't know. We didn't know what this money was going to be for. We had no clue. And we knew that it wasn't going to be much. You know, like, we couldn't save, like, tens of thousands of dollars, but we could put, like, isn't it $350 a month? $300 a month, every month, we set aside for this, right? And so that added up, right, $5,000. And I'll tell you what, I firmly believe that that option wouldn't have even come to us if we hadn't started saving in the first place. Do you get that? God wouldn't have even opened that door for it to be a possibility had we not sown generosity at the beginning of our existence as a church.
Yeah, I have to say, too, the stuff that they purchased is nicer than the stuff that we have, okay? And we spent more than double that cost on, and we did it cheap. I mean, people in our denomination are looking at us saying, like, how'd you do that so cheap? There's a church plant in Sacramento that just spent 70 grand on just the stuff to set up and make it happen. Okay, so $5,000 is nothing. That's a miracle. It's hard for you to understand that being in your position, but I want you to know that that is a miracle. The soundboard that we have, they have the same one, and I mean, that alone would have cost a certain amount. And so God is just so amazing the way that he worked that out.
Absolutely. And so I just want to make that clear, right? Like, God was able to do immeasurably more than we can ask, hope, or imagine because we were faithful to what we decided in our hearts. Right? That's how this works. And so it's so important. And I'll tell you, another way that this worked, real quick, we went to that, to Gladden Farms is where the plant is, right? And so we knew that there was a school there. And so we went to that school and we formed a relationship with the teacher. And that first couple weeks before school, we went in and we helped set up classrooms and we helped set up the library and we went and did a little concert on the first day of school just to like welcome the kids in and all this. And we've bought lunch and breakfast for the teachers. And we've just tried to be generous to that school and let them know that we love them. Well, another church was in there the whole time, right? And so we were like, you know what, that's okay. Like, and we tried to form a relationship with them and like support them and say, great that you guys are there. Well, unfortunately, I'll just tell you that church closed, right? They just they didn't make it. And that's really hard to say and to hear, I know, but I'll tell you, they closed and we didn't even know about it. And so this last week, Ashley calls Nancy, the principal of that school, and Nancy said, you know what, I just wanted to let you know that church that was meeting here, unfortunately they closed, but since they closed, God has really put you guys on my heart, and I think that you guys need to have your church here. And I'll tell you what, like, that's a miracle. That's a miracle, absolute miracle, is that this church plant that we're planting has all the equipment they need. They have a location they need. They have the people that they need. Now it's just putting all those pieces together and making it happen. We didn't do a thing. All we did was we sowed in some relationships and we sowed in a little bit of money. And now a church that's going to impact Gladden Farms for the kingdom is going to happen. You see how this works? God is able to do immeasurably more. Because here's the thing, we can only plan so much for our own lives. When we try to control things, we can only come up with our best imaginations of what we want to do. We can try to make big plans for our lives and try to execute them, and sometimes we get there. But God is able to do immeasurably more than we can plan, than we can try to execute, than we can ask, hope, or imagine. Which one do you want for your lives? Right? Which one do you want for your lives? Do you want the life that you can come up with? The best case scenario that you can come up with? Or do you want to go with God's plan for your life, which is immeasurably more than you can ask, hope, and imagine for your life? That is the choice. That is what is at stake when it comes to generosity in our lives. Do we see this? Do we get this? It's so important that we own this for our lives. Otherwise, we are missing out on so much that God has already planned for us.
I'm excited to give. I'm like, where's the need? Where's the need? I'm going to have the worship team come forward, and we're going to worship God in this time, and we set this aside, this specific part of our service, so that you can just reflect and respond to God. I believe that the Holy Spirit is moving in our church. I want you to know one of our six core values is generosity, and our tagline for that is leveraging our lives for the kingdom of God. So every part of our lives, we want to say, Jesus, I surrender to you, leverage it, use it. Use it, because the most important thing in this world is that people come to know Jesus. Amen?
Amen.
I'm not saying that just like, you know, pastors do sometimes. Like, this is the most important thing. But that is the most important thing in this world, is that people come to know Jesus. And we want, I mean, it's incredible what God has done through this gathering of people. It's really incredible. We're just working with Jackie this week to talk about our budget for the next year. Our fiscal year runs June to May. And so that's coming up. We got to get our budget set. We're talking about it. And I mean, like, the amount of money that we gave away, guys, it's incredible. It's absolutely incredible. For a church our size, you know, I wish that you could understand how amazing it is, how God has provided for us. He believes in us. And I will say this, as a church, not Cody and I, as a church, we have reaped generously because we've sown generously. And I believe that he has more and more for us. Just this week, we took a tour through Eloy. We believe God wants to put a church in Eloy. Have you ever been to Eloy? Raise your hand. I'd never been there before, guys. I cried that night. My heart was broken for those people there. They need Jesus big time in Eloy. We had a girl who works out in our church at a gym this week, and the owner, in a miraculous way, came around. We were talking. I was talking to her, and I was saying, you know, God, we should put a church in that gym. Wouldn't that be amazing? And this guy who's like wild, owns this gym, out of his mouth the next day was like, we should put a church in this gym. I mean, it's incredible what the Holy Spirit is doing, the avenues, the good works that he's lining up for us to give. And so this is so important, guys, that we get this right, that we get our hearts right. And I want you to not be shamed in this. I want you to be encouraged today that maybe you heard some things and today you're thinking, I gotta get my heart right. And I'll tell you, I have had a right heart, and then I've kind of slipped out of it in anxiety when it comes to, you know, we get kind of pressed financially, and I've had to repent of that and get right back into, no, I'm not getting there. I'm going to trust God in this. I'm going to allow him to work through me in this way. So I'm going to ask you some questions this morning, just give you the opportunity to respond to God. You can bow your heads, close your eyes. This is between you and the Lord. It just kind of gives you an opportunity to respond to him. If you're hearing this morning, that your heart is right when you sow generously, you know your heart is right, and you want to repent this morning of a stingy heart or an anxious heart or a what about me selfish heart when it comes to your finances, you just want to repent of that and say, God, that's where I've been, and I don't want to be there anymore. Would you just be honest and raise your hand? Just want to thank you. Thank you, guys. That's awesome. Proud of you. I'm so proud of this church and the way that you guys respond to God. When you hear that our hearts are right, when we give cheerfully, hilariously, and you hear about the miracles that God can do through a cheerful giver, and you just want to say, I want to be part of that. I don't want to give under compulsion or guilt or because my friend's giving. I'm going to give cheerfully. I can't wait to be a part of what God is doing. Would you just raise your hand? Awesome. That's awesome. And this last one here, you know your heart is right when you expect abundant blessing. And you're hearing that promise of God that he provides sufficiently for all that you need, and he continues to stir up avenues for you to reap legacy and righteousness and impact and influence and even wealth in this life and in heaven. And you say, you know what? I'm going to own that promise for my life. I'm going to expect that from now on. Would you just raise your hand? Awesome. God, we are so amazed at how you provide. Lord, the word says that you are Jehovah. You are God that provides, Lord. And so we hear this today, and Lord, we just admit that sometimes there's a tension in our hearts, God, that we're like, you know, it's a sentence in scripture that says, you know, this is how God's economy works, but I don't know. I'm nervous about it. God, I pray that you would break through the tension in Jesus' name. Father, right now, that you would just right our hearts, God, that you would increase our faith, that you would set our feet on solid ground when it comes to this issue in our lives. And God, I pray that you would unleash a spirit of generosity through this church. More, Lord, we ask for more. God, you've been so faithful and so amazing. And God, we just say increase it. We expect that abundant blessing, those needs to come our way. And God, we commit as a body of believers to say we're not going to be anxious when the needs come. We're not going to be judgmental. We're not going to be stingy. God, we're going to give like we've never given before because you are at work. Lord, we just commit to that together. And we ask God for avenues to come our way. Lord, I pray that just the same as that church in Texas, God, just so impacted my heart this week, I pray that you would bring impact like that into 85145. And Lord, may we be ready to stand up and join you in that work. Lord, we love you. We thank you. How could we be guilty or compulsed, God? We are so cheerful and joyful before you in your presence, God. We thank you that you have allowed us to partner with you. It's all for your glory. We can't take any credit. Can't take any credit, God. We thank you. We praise you. In Jesus' name, amen.